Okay, welcome along. Welcome to the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media. My name's David. This is John. We both work for Grace Church in Hayward Heath. John's the minister. I'm the trainee minister. We don't have particularly good social media credentials, but we know a bit, and we've thought about it a bit. So hopefully we'll have something helpful to say. Let me pray as we start. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us now as we come to the issue of social media. Please give us wisdom as we think. Please give John and I clarity as we speak. And please might we come away worshipping you more rightly when it comes to social media. Amen. Well, if you're wondering who we're aiming at, I realise there's quite a lot of people here. So we're aiming to get us thinking about how we use social media ourselves. We're also aiming particularly for those who are thinking about how we can help our children and young people to use social media rightly. They're growing up in a different world to even me, and I'm aware I'm slightly younger than some of us here. How do we help them as they grow up? How do we help them to understand social media, how to use it wisely? I thought we'd start. You might look at the front of the handout and be a bit daunted, thinking there's 14 points coming your way. There are not. I've got a quiz for you. What I'd like you to do is I'm going to put some icons up on the PowerPoint, and what I'd like you to do is see if you can name what social media they're from. Some, hopefully everyone can get some of them. Let's go. You're not going to have much time, so we're just going to go. So write down what you think it is. Hopefully most of you should get that one. Okay, well, I don't know how you felt you did. That is by no means all of the social media out there. That is just a sample of what is used, some of them more than others. But they are all social media. We're going to quickly run through the answers so you get an idea. And I'll put a little comment with each one. Hopefully most of you are aware of the existence of Facebook. Lots of people on Facebook. Not so popular with young people. Interestingly, Facebook is going downhill in young people. WhatsApp, it's a messaging service. It's like a cooler email. Next one, Snapchat. This way you can send a message to someone, send a photo, and it will last however long, between sort of 2 and 10 seconds on their screen, and then it goes away. Instagram, basically a picture service, social, you can share pictures. Skype. Most of us know Skype, way of phoning online. Twitter, hopefully you've heard of Twitter. Pinterest, I don't know how to describe Pinterest. I think craft sort of online blogging-ish thing. Don't really know. Not been on it, really. Clash of Clans, that one you probably didn't get. That's a game. Just to be aware that social media is bigger than just sort of communicating. Actually, games involve social media as well. Tumblr as a blogging site, YouTube, you've heard video service, Flickr, that's a slightly old school picture service, Wikipedia, hopefully again you've heard of that big online information store, LinkedIn, business social network sort of thing. This last one, I'll be interested if anyone got it, Tinder. Anyone heard of Tinder? Tinder is a bit of a dodgy app. It's a dating app. I don't recommend using it. But it's a form of social media. And the reason I did all of that is partly to help us think, well, what is social media? It's broader than I think most of us think. I think most of us think Facebook and Twitter, and maybe not much more than that. But it's much bigger than that. In fact, Wikipedia's definition is that social media is the social interaction among people in which they create, share, or exchange information and ideas in virtual communities and networks. That's a wordy definition, isn't it? I think it's basically just new methods of communicating on top of phoning, texting, and letter writing. It's just another way of communicating. That's what social media is. We're going to be thinking, so John and I are going to do this between us, and John's going to come up and share some helpful things to do with, I think he's called it Facebooking up to technology. Over to John.
That's the full extent of humour for this seminar. Right, let's see if we can get a bit more height on this. It is important, isn't it, to think biblically about these things rather than just intuitively. That's what we're going to try and do. My instinct is that amongst Christians, you might have two poles when it comes to technology. At one level, you've got the cavemen. Their instincts are against technology, that it's going to cause people to be depraved and lead them into darkness. Then you've got spacemen. Their instincts are for technology. They unashamedly embrace it, perhaps undiscerningly in all its forms. The fact is that technology is, of course, neutral. It can be used for good or for evil. Just think about those two images you've got on your handouts. You have the technology in ancient Israel of melting down gold to form things. Well, we know, don't we, from Exodus 34, how that was used for evil in the formation of the golden calf. There, the sinful desire to be like others, which actually we see so much of in Facebook, that was the dominant desire. And so the golden calf was made, and it was a form of something that technology produced that could lead others into sin. By contrast, using similar means, the Ark of the Covenant was made. Well, their technology is being used for good. There, it's a godly desire to honor God, and so technology is used to make something that would move people to worship the Lord. You get the point, whether it's the web or social media or anything else, it can be used for good or for evil. Well, when I was a student, I was so helpfully told again and again that when you're assessing something in culture, that one of the most helpful ways to do it is to try and think about that particular aspect of culture in terms of salvation history, the four key moves in salvation history of creation, fall into sin, redemption from sin, and then the glorification to come. We're going to try and do that very briefly because we only have a short time, but let's consider first how we might understand technology and social media in particular through our doctrine of creation. I wonder if I was to ask you what the first command God gives human beings in the Bible is. You might say it's don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you'd be wrong. The first command is to fill the world and subdue it. And there's a sense in which subduing the world for Adam and Eve and their descendants was to utilize the world's resources for good. Just as God used, if you like, the most basic technology to create garments for Adam and Eve after they sinned. So by creation, there is a mandate for using our creativity in technology. But let's consider the fall. Do you know, Genesis chapter 4, 21, 22, we read how men developed technology, making instruments, musical instruments, wonderful affirmation of music so early on, but tools too. But by the time you get to Genesis 11, how is it they're using technology for bad there? Can anyone remember? The Tower of Babel, that's right. There they're using it to make a name for themselves and not to glorify God. Well, we're going to think now about what lies at the heart of that. We're in Ephesians today, so let's turn to Ephesians. We've heard so, I mean, I thought that session from William this morning was just superb, wasn't it? And he was urging us not to live like the Gentiles. Well, in chapter 4, verses 17 to 19, Paul very helpfully outlines what Gentile living is like. So Ephesians 4, verse 17, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Here in a general sense, Paul's describing the non-Christian person. It's, if you like, a spiritual post-mortem. He's analyzing what the human being is like in their state of spiritual deadness through sin. In other words, what impact the fall has made on our humanity. Well, the diagram on your handout seeks to clarify some of the logic here, but have a look at verse 18. In terms of our minds, we're being told that by nature, but for Christ, we and our children Our teenagers who are engaging with social media are darkened in our understanding. So we're not able to grasp the implications, perhaps, of social media or how to use it rightly in a way that honors God. Why? Well, as you see on your diagram, the heart is the key thing here. And it is in this text, isn't it? If you look down at verse 18, we're darkened in our understanding because of the hardness of our hearts. At the level of desire and decision, we want things over and above honoring God, whether that's acceptance by friends, a withdrawal from responsibility, sexual stimulation, whatever it might be. Paul puts it elsewhere as suppressing the truth. Because at the level of desire and decision, we do not want the things that honor the Lord, then we refuse to accept his will. And here, perhaps in terms of how technology might be rightly used. And so verse 19, this leads us driven by desire in our actions, unable to let go of what's dishonoring to God, especially with respect to sex. And we see that all over the internet, don't we? And particularly in social media. That's the impact of the fall on us as human beings, and therefore by implication how we engage with technology. But what about our redemption? Well, that's the theme from verse 20 onwards. They're glorious and reassuring verses. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. And then we're told about what we are now through the gospel. So verse 22, if we or our children have come to faith in Christ, then in terms of our actions, we are able to put off those sinful practices, that addiction to pornography, that flirtatiousness through social media, whatever it might be. We're able to put it off and put on a life that conforms to the life of Jesus. In other words, for our purposes, we're able to use technology or social media in a way that Jesus would. Can you ever imagine Jesus on Facebook or Twitter? Can't see why he wouldn't be if he lived today, but he would use it in a God-honoring way. Second, verse 23, that ability to use it in a godly way comes because of the attitude of our minds is renewed. So we no longer suppress the wisdom of God on any matter, but we submit to God's wisdom. And third, verse 24, with respect to our hearts, that place of decision and desire, we can do this because we've been made new. And now we desire to be like God. Put simply, the Christian is able to use technology in a way that is good and God-honoring. Let's recognize that. We don't have to live in great nervousness about these things, but with caution instead. And if you look on your diagram, the key thing to look to in us as we engage in social media and in our children is our heart. That governs everything in this theology of the human being. We need to think, yes, of course, but we need to ensure that what we want at the level of our hearts, desires, and decisions is to please the Lord. And if that's not there, we're never going to win the battle on these things. Well, fourth, in terms of understanding technology through this overview of the Bible, let's consider where we're going in the end, our glorification. Isaiah 2 verse 4, it's on your handout. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Sometimes I feel Christians are in this mindset that we all assume that the new creation is going to be living in a somewhat sort of medieval agricultural society. I can't see any reason from the scriptures why we won't be engaging in technology in a far more superior way than we do now, free from all the imperfection that restrains us in the present. And what we see hinted at, I think, in this verse, is that then technology will move from being used for things of darkness to things of light. They beat their swords, which destroy and kill, into plowshares, which nurture and bring life. And it's this godly engagement with technology that we must be aiming for in the here and now, whether it's with social media or anything else. So please hear us. Technology in and of itself is neutral. Social media can be used for great evil, but it can also be used for good. Well, at this point, we're going to pause, and it's a time for you to talk to the person next to you if you were nervous of doing that at the beginning. But what we want to ask you to do is, on the basis of that, just from the top of your head, brainstorming, if we're allowed to use that word, try and think, what are some of the pros, the good things about social media in its broadest form, and what are some of the cons, the bad things, the potential for evil there as well? And just list some of those out on your handouts, just for 5 minutes. Now, in this kind of environment, we could be here forever if we start getting feedback and to-ing and fro-ing amongst one another. So we're not going to do that. And I take it that you'll have come up with all sorts of pros and cons that we haven't thought about as we've been preparing. But I'm going to try and suggest 5 pros and 5 cons to social media. And you could do a seminar on each one of these. So all that we can do is throw these things out there. And our prayer and hope is that you're going to go away and chew them over and think about them. The point David will be making critically later on is that if you've got children and teenagers engaging in social media, the most important thing you can do is actually talk with them about their use and these things. And I think these 5 pros and these 5 cons could be quite useful for you to have as the springboard for those conversations. Here's some things we could chat about. I phoned up my niece, who's 16, a couple of days ago, and I said to her, "What are the issues?" And she immediately said, "Well, a friend of mine at school got into problems when she put a photo out on social media. It was forwarded to other people. In the end, it was forwarded to people she didn't even know. Everyone was talking about it. She wouldn't even come to school." That, for her, is a big issue about how these things are used. So it's worth talking. Now, let's go into some of these pros and cons then. First pro, creativity. The fact is, social media isn't just a creative form of technology. It can aid our own creativity as well as we share photos and thoughts and views. It gives avenues for our God-given creativity to be expressed. And there's some fantastic Christian use of social media out there that demonstrates that. Communication. We might prefer face-to-face contact, or maybe you don't. But social media does enable communication in which people are able to engage with people they wouldn't otherwise engage with. It's a fantastic means of keeping in touch with lonely relatives or people across the other side of the globe. Critically, it's a great form of communicating the gospel, isn't it? Thoughtfully, yes, but another means by which it could be communicated, sometimes into areas of society where it's not being heard. Third, community. In its own way, social media builds a sense of community. I guess that's implied in the name. It can become a common center around which friendships and families and church can keep in touch. And it can lead us, therefore, to cherish relationships, to empathize with others, to offer support, to share our lives. Fourth, and this is one I think perhaps we don't think about enough, celebration. It strikes me social media gives much opportunity for Christians to celebrate what is good and noble and pure. An image that goes on, a thought that goes on, something we rejoice in. And by doing that thoughtfully, we can counter the dark things of our culture by pointing people to what is of the light. Fifth pro, I'm trying to get them all seized, this is consideration or discernment. Social media is a great means of weighing up and perhaps expressing alternative views. We have to be very cautious about how we do that. We need to think about how what we say might be heard. But nevertheless, we can do that. So the received views of the media or of a culture can be thoughtfully questioned. Think about the Arab Spring and how that was driven through social media. 5 pros then. What about 5 cons? Well, the first is one that actually that many talk about, dissatisfaction. Being constantly exposed to the, if you like, the online lives of other people, their exaggerated portrayal of themselves, can so easily leave people feeling dissatisfied. Children in particular feeling that they're missing out. And it's been recorded how that can lead even to depression. Dissatisfaction. Deception. Not only can social media by these means give a rather warped view of reality, you know, your friend that seems to be engaging in every sport and every kind of dangerous hobby that they could, living life to the max. It can give a warped view of reality, but it can encourage us to be dishonest as well. Because we feel we've got to keep up, so we start to present ourselves in a way that's not true to who we really are. Our lives in a way that seems better than they actually are. It certainly is people judge better. It can encourage us to focus on outer things as if they're signs of significance rather than the things of the inner person. It can lead to deception. Third, and here I'm bringing point five down to point three, my T that I couldn't become a D. Thoughtlessness is number three. Thoughtlessness. Often those who judge their importance by the friends they have on Facebook or some other form of social media or the comments they get, they can be tempted to be more and more outrageous in order to build that up. This was another thing my niece was talking to me about. I need more attention from people. I'm not getting it. So let's put something really wacky on there. And it's easy, too, to feel unaccountable on social media, though in some sense you're very accountable, aren't you? Because everyone witnesses what you put on. But once something's gone online, it's usually online, often forever. It can be forwarded on so anyone can see it, even Snapchat, where the idea that it disappears after a few seconds, which can itself lead people to put inappropriate things on there because they think it's just going to flash up. But people can photograph what comes up when it comes up quickly and then forward that on. So thoughtlessness is a danger in which things are said that wouldn't be said to the face, pictures uploaded you wouldn't want everyone to see, and the impact of what's posted isn't considered, whether it's an impact on other people or on one's own reputation. Fourth con is therefore damage. This is one we think most about, perhaps. Now, we're not making much on bullying and grooming here. Actually, that's something that your children will find out lots about at school. We need to be aware of that and talk that through with them too, but let's think beyond it. What about the damage that comes from being bombarded by inappropriate images or ideas? In my previous church, when we asked the teenagers what the prime struggle for them at school was, it was the passing of pornography through their mobile phones from other people. What about the sense of rejection when a 13-year-old is defriended and they're not yet mature enough not to worry about that? Or when they're simply ignored by social media that all their other friends are engaging in? Or what about the embarrassment and the shame when something that you regret posting is forwarded to all and sundry? There's all sorts of ways that social media, uncritically used, can be damaging. And the fifth area is domination. I think this is a good word here because it describes actually the rule that we should have over the creation, but in social media you find the creation ending up being the ruler. Again, my niece and her father raised this one as perhaps one of the key ones for them. In talking to friends, it's a big problem. Time becomes absorbed. You keep checking your phone, your tablet, whatever it is, because you're fearing that you're missing out on what all your friends are engaging in on social media. So you're constantly on there wanting to ensure that you're included. And men, for us, there can be a real danger to withdraw onto the computer, and social media is another means in which we can do that, though I'm sure that could be the case for women too. And then when there is no web, people can be restless, unable to relax or focus on other things. Social media begins to dominate life. I saw my nephew a couple of weeks ago. He was on a week's holiday away from home. And almost the first thing when I asked, how's it going, he said, there's no internet. I can't wait to get back to my Xbox. How tragic that was as we walked around Nyman's Gardens, though 15-year-olds don't really engage with Nyman's Gardens. I tried to get him up the tree. Five pros, five cons then. These are things for us to think about, aren't they, as we talk with others. Any brief questions on that before I hand over to David? Or comments?
Is there anything about this which is different to the past?
I think that's a really good question, actually.
The question
is there anything different about this as with respect to the past? I think in one sense the answer has to be no. You know, there have been new forms of technology that enabled new forms of communication. You can think of the printing press. At another level, I'm sure the answer is yes. In the sense, the internet makes things much more immediate, sudden. There is less time to think. I've come across those who even write their sermons by hand because that enables them to think about what they're writing rather than type. So in that sense, there are new things to it as well, the public nature of it all. So I'm sure there is some new things and some that's not so much. I'm going to hand over to David and he'll lead us on.
I think that's really helpful, John, really helpful.
It's hard, isn't it? Because these are wisdom issues. It would be wonderful if each individual issue we had just, this is exactly what you should do. But the Bible doesn't present itself in that way. The Bible presents wisdom issues with slightly more vague answers, things to think about. One of the things I'd recommend if you're considering, in fact, I put it in the back, I put on the very back of your handout, I put some resources. One is a book we can flag up later, but the other is the Book of Proverbs. Why not spend, if you think this is a big issue, why not spend some time reading through the Book of Proverbs and thinking, how does that apply to social media? I found a couple just earlier, which I thought were helpful. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Well, that could very easily apply to social media, couldn't it? Well, there's lots of those in Proverbs. Do consider those. But we're going to think a little bit about how we practically deal with social media and some principles to go along by. Is it the same? Is the dad of your niece the same one? Yeah, so the dad of John's niece put on Facebook, we asked out on Facebook for people to give what we need to be thinking about in terms of this seminar. And he wrote a huge post. I've got 15 lines of the post on my A4 sheet. Big post. And then his very next comment afterwards was, actually, ignore what I said. Just sat and had a supper with a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old and asked them what the key issues are. Far more complicated and is different for each age. Also, they seem very aware of issues. So my suggestion is, find some kids using social media and ask them what the issues are. Seriously. That's what you said. And so really, the two things we're hoping you'll come away from this seminar doing is thinking more about social media, and talking more about social media. And you'll see in the back of the handout, I've put a load of things for us to think about and maybe talk about amongst ourselves. But also, when we come to dealing with children and youth, just some questions we can be asking them and some things we should think about when approaching it. And that's by no means comprehensive. One of the things about social media is it sort of spawns and grows, and there's just no way we can keep up with it. So really, the onus is on us to do the thinking and us to do the talking as a whole. We can't give you simple things, just this is a rule, this is a rule, this is a rule. It just won't work. So what I thought would be helpful would be for us to get into our groups where we've been talking and look at some scenarios and think, how would I think about this? What might I talk about with the people involved? You'll find on page 6, there's appropriately 6 scenarios. Do have a look through those. Don't feel you need to start with A. Find whichever ones are most helpful. You've got about 10 minutes to consider those scenarios and talk about how you would respond to them. However, if you have a scenario you're experiencing yourself, well, why not discuss that as well? There's no need to be restricted to these. But why not, in your groups, pick a scenario or a couple of scenarios and think, how would you respond to that situation? That's been helpful. Please don't feel you have to stop talking about this. We'd love you to keep talking, keep thinking about these issues. And why not, over lunch, have a chat with those around you or with the people who you came with. Why not talk about it and consider it some more? We're going to have questions in a minute. Let me just flag up. This is just about the only book I can find on practically how to use social media. Will You Be My Facebook Friend? There are copies at the back. I can't remember how it's priced. It's not very expensive. It's a good book. But the danger of this book is Facebook isn't all of social media, and it's not the big thing it once was in teens' life. If you're looking for something in terms of your children and your young people, well, actually, there's a whole host of other things they're using, and not all of this applies. It is a good book, having said that, really helpful for us, and it is worth thinking about. Do have a look at that, and do consider buying it. We've got a few minutes. We thought we would have a time of questions at the end. Has anyone got any questions they particularly want to ask on anything? What are young people doing if they're not doing Facebook? A lot of our youth are on Snapchat and WhatsApp. They are also on Facebook. But actually, youth are more savvy than some of us older people in that these are more private messaging services. So they're aware of how things can go wrong publicly. They've been taught that at school, and they've sort of seen how some of us adults have messed it up. And they're actually being a bit more savvy and going for the private network, more private networks. Hope that helps. Absolutely. Sorry, which are you talking about? The scenarios? Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one way she could help. Brian is take it away. Oh, I absolutely. In that scenario, I do think Betty needs to use her parental influence.
Thank you. I think there's a couple of issues. I think one of the big things we've been saying in terms of parental influence is to talk to your children. So that's a huge thing. And that actually is, I would suggest that's even better than just taking it away, because you're really helping them to think and to get underneath it, which is going to help them in all other spheres as well. The other thing that's come out, I think, is that as parents of my generation, we need to think about what our children see us doing. So, for example, I often work from a home, and a lot of my work I do on my phone, because it enables me to text and email. But actually, the children see me using a phone constantly. So what do they want to do? They want to be on phones all the time, but doing different things. So I've started to try and do that less publicly, just so that I'm not influencing by my model. And again, someone else on Facebook, it's the same chap, actually, who put all that on. He then said, I feel quite convicted now about my use of these things because I'm doing it too much and my kids are picking it up from me. So at that level, it's an example. I mean, I think there is a place sometimes of saying no to usage, but we need to just think carefully about what that's going to mean for our child and what we're saying by that. I guess these are similar questions if you say no to TV. And I don't think it's a given, because technology is neutral. One person, Christian, might decide they want to say no, and there might be some reasons with their particular children why that's appropriate. Another might say... That's right, so you need to think about it. Yeah. I mean, in our house, I was talking to David about this, we do screen-free days, which is just to help put some protections in place and to teach them they can cope without a screen for a day. So 2 days of the week, it's screen-free days. That works quite well. We find less battles then because they know they're not going to even get the chance to than we do when we're trying to kind of limit it. But you just need to think and pray about it for yourself with your kids.
I think we've got time for one more. Yeah.
Exactly that.
Do have a look for through those questions at the end if you want some more ideas on that stuff.
Do you just repeat Brenda's point for the sake of the recording? It was that the point was that actually it's good to get kids involved with other things so that they're actually busy with other things rather than with social media. Again, my niece made exactly that point to me. I asked her how dominating it is. And she said, it really can be, but it's just good to be doing lots of other things, and that helps you.
Particularly direct social interactions as opposed to the abstracted ones.
Yes, exactly that, direct social interaction.
I think that's really helpful. Do keep thinking about this. Do keep talking about it. Let's finish with prayer. We are just about on time. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. So, Father, we praise you that you are the mighty creator who created absolutely everything. You created every single electron and atom. You created all the things we use, technology, computers. You created the internet before we even thought of it. So we praise you for who you are. Please help us as we use social media ourselves, and as we raise children, to use it. Please help us to raise them worshipping you and honouring you in their use of it and in our use of it. In Jesus' name, amen.